Joan and Issa are going to get some more Jesus Save shirts. So if you have not put a little mark by the color you want, I've got the color swatch up here. So anyhow, I'll set this over here. All right, it's good to be back. Man, wow, it is good to be back. Good to see y'all. I know there's several people that are sick right now. I've got one up here, thank you. Do what? Am I being sick? I'm over it. I'm both. I'm over it and I'm over it. I'm done. I'm done being at home. Yeah, both. I'm over it and I'm over it. Yeah. As I was this study this morning, and by the way, the guys that preached and helped, thank y'all. Man, that's helpful. Helpful to have guys that can fill in. So I appreciate that. I was thinking about do what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This microphone seems really like, it's like, I don't know. Yeah, it just sounds like it's echoing. Yeah. All right, let's do this. Matthew 20. And this little parable really made me think about Catherine and Catherine's class. Matthew chapter 20. So it's the continuation of, see, the very last verse in Matthew 19 says, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Last verse in Matthew 19. And then starts this parable about these hired helpers. And we'll, I like the style of the asking questions and stuff like that. It seems to be working. We'll read this Matthew 20 verses 1 through 16, and then we'll talk about the last first, the first last, and all that. Bible says in Matthew chapter 20 verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. That's the same thing he said at the end of chapter 19. When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. When the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? is thine eye evil because I'm good? So the last shall be first, the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. So before I ask you questions, one of the things I like to do in some of these parables, and this one seems to be a little bit more difficult, but just figure out, go to the end, figure out what the point is, and then go back and apply what the purpose, what the point of the parable is, and go back into the parable and read it into the parable, because you read the parable and the point may not be obvious until the last thing he says in verse 16. So the last shall be first, first last, many be called, but few chosen. That's the whole point of the parable. That explains everything he just said. And so with that being said, let's pray, and I'll give you three things about this parable, but we'll talk about it. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here. It's good to be back in church. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning. I know we got a lot of folks that are sick. Thank you that Lauren got out of the hospital last night. I do lift up the Ingrams and the Brannans, that you heal up their families, and just it seems like there's so many others around the country that are sick with various things, maybe not COVID, but just various things. And I pray you'd help the pastors that are preaching this morning, help us this morning, help those that are watching. I pray everybody that's listening would get blessed and get blessed by you, get fed by you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Parable of the householder. He has vineyard, hires laborers all throughout the day. Then at the end of the day, pays the laborers. Some feel like they were worth a little bit more, even after they had agreed to the pay. And so I guess we'll start with this conversation. The obvious question is, in the parable, is this fair, what the householder does, what the guy does with his vineyard? Yes, yes, I'm getting some yeses. Okay, that's good. Okay, so what's the differing thoughts? Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't equal. Okay. All right. So in the parable, who is the householder? Anybody know who the householder is? It's God the Father. God the Father. In Matthew chapter 21, there's another parable. It's very similar. It's a householder, and we don't have to read it, but in that parable, he sends out laborers, and then he sends out his son, and the steward kills the son. And so the householder is God the Father. So this is an interesting one, because when the Lord tells this parable, your perspective of the householder is going to be your perspective of God, because God is the householder. And yeah, and so the employer in here is God the Father. The obvious question is, this fair? I guess the other question is, does it matter if it's fair? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Because, number one, the employees, they got picked up by the employer. It was the employer's vineyard. It was the employer's gas money. It was the employer's truck that picked them up. It was the employer's ladders that he used. They agreed to the terms.
They were obviously satisfied at that point.
Right. So...
tell somebody,
So that brings up the point. That brings up the critical point in this. If it's not fair, in what way is it not fair? It's only not fair because the householder, the man that owned everything, was better to some people than he was to others. And that's the only way it was. I mean, everyone got what they agreed to get. They all said, we agree to what you're going to pay us. But when some saw that the householder paid a little bit more to some other guys, now, granted, if you've ever been in a position to actually pay people, you have a different perspective than the employee has. And so you may not be privy to market conditions that are changing. You may not be privy to work conditions that are changing. All you see is, I got this check, and that guy got more, and so obviously I deserve more because that guy got more. But you're not privy to all the things that the employer has to consider when he hires people. Obviously, in this parable, as the day goes on, it becomes more critical that this man gets everything out of his field. And so the value of the labor gets a little bit higher because he needs to get everything out of his field. And maybe the ones that started earlier weren't getting it done quick enough. I don't know. Yeah. So in the parable, is the employer good or is the employer evil? Well, what does it say in the parable? The good man of the house. What does he say in verse 15? Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because what? Because I'm good. Yeah. I mean, if at the beginning of the day he said, all right, I'm going to give you $1,000 if you'll come work for me. And they all say, yeah, that's good money. We want that. We'll do that. So they go out and work. And as the day goes on, it's clear that the field's not going to get harvested, and it needs to get harvested. And so as the day goes on, he continues to go out and hire people and just says, I'll give you what's right. By the end of the day, he knows it's not going to get harvested, and he's got to hire more people. But he knows if he hires them by the hour, it's not even worth their time to show up. So he's going to pay them whatever's right just to get this thing harvested. And so in the parable, all right, the householder is God the Father. He's good. And if it's unjust in what he did, it's only unjust in that some people got more than other people. But that wasn't unfair because it was kind of agreed upon at the beginning, this is what you're getting. I mean, this is one of those things that so many people do this. It happens so often nowadays, where people sign on to do something for a set amount, and then once they start doing it and they get that paycheck, and then they think, I should be getting more. This guy over here is getting more. It's like, well, if you wanted more, then either go get another job or don't agree to the terms. If you want more money, go find a job that pays more money or get educated in a way that will make you more money, or don't agree to the terms because once you agree to these terms, that's the terms. So the parable is pretty interesting, and the employer's good. He says he's good. Jesus Christ says he's good. He has his own field. He's hired people out, and it's really interesting because what you think about this man is going to be kind of like Beth said, where you are in the scope of things and where you are with God. If you think you've done more for the Lord, then you think you're the guy that got hired at the first of the day. And you think you deserve a lot more than, even though you agreed to the terms, which is the second part of this. The laborers who agreed, no, the envy is the issue that comes up. The laborers who agreed on their wages, they despise their wages. Actually, they despise the employer because he's good to some people, or he paid them more than he paid the ones who showed up first. And so they get envious. The problem is the vineyard doesn't belong to them. Again, they agreed to the terms. It's not any of their business. It's not any of their tools they're using. It's not any of their gas money. It wasn't their truck that picked them up. It wasn't their he offered them. They agreed to it. And then they saw that some people were paid more. And so they disagreed with what they're paid, but they don't have the perspective the guy that owns the field has. And that's always the issue. He's trying to get and apparently market conditions change over the day because he's got to get the job done. And if the guys that are hired first aren't getting it done, you got to hire some more people. And if he hires people at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock shutting down time, most people probably aren't going to work for an hourly wage at that and go out for $7 or whatever. So he's got to pay them something that's worth their time to be out there. Anyhow, they get envious, but no one's being shortchanged. No one's been shortchanged. How about this? Look in Romans chapter 2. This is an interesting kind of correlation to this envy thing and how God treats people. Remember, the point of this is the last or first, the first last, and the principle at work that some people believe they are owed more after agreeing to the terms. That's the problem. That's the problem. It's going to be applied, I'll show you at the end, but it's going to be applied to the Pharisees, the religious groups, and people who think they've done more for God and they're owed more. And the Lord says to the Pharisees, just like he says in the parable, look, you have your reward. You in the religious circle, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but in the religious circle, you strove to make men happy and to be men pleasers. And so the Lord will say, you have your reward. Whatever men decide to give you, that's what you're looking for. That's your reward. You got exactly what you bargained for. And so that's how kind of the parable is going to be applied. Some people thought that they were owed a lot more, but in reality, they got exactly what they set out to get. All right, here's an interesting, really peculiar thought in Romans chapter 2. Remember, the people that despise the householder, they despise him because he's good. That's the point. They despise him because he's good. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. It says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or, what an interesting phrase here. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? What kind of verse is that? Who in the world despises the goodness of God? Well, apparently, hypocrites do. Because hypocrites think they're owed more from God than they actually are. And that's kind of what's going on in the parable. We look at the householder, we look at God the Father, and he's given some of these people, these publicans and these harlots, a little more access. I don't know. He's blessing them a little bit more. and we don't seem to be getting what we're working for. And the point is, you're getting exactly what you're working for. This is exactly what you bargained for. And you look at the householder and you despise his goodness. When I ask that question, is it fair? It doesn't even matter if it's fair. Fair is not even the point of this, because it's not fair in a good way towards some people. And if you're the guy that got hired at the 11th hour, all you're looking for is somebody good that'll hire you for a decent amount of money so you can pay your family, or you can buy food for your family. And so the people that get hired at the end of the day, they get what they're looking for. The people that got hired at the beginning of the day, they got what they were looking for. At the ones that got hired a little bit earlier, they just thought they did a little bit more. And granted, yeah, they got hired earlier. I don't know if they did more, but they got hired earlier. So I know I'm getting a little bit ahead, because there's...
Which is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own?
Right.
I get to decide what I do with it, call it private property right.
This parable, Catherine, that's what I said earlier. This parable,
the whole first unit in economics class.
I was gonna say, this made me think of this parable made me think of you and your class, and like this. Yeah, this is it not lawful for me to do with what I will with my own? I mean, I got the vineyard. I picked you up with my truck. You're using my ladder. You're using my tools. Without me, you don't have a job anyway. So I can pay how I want to pay. And you can agree or not agree. But once you agree, you agreed. I mean, this was the thing. And so, yeah, there's some private property in the Bible.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and when you apply it back to God also, in terms of the householder, I mean, you can't dictate to him what he's going to give us.
Yeah.
He's made the deal. He sacrificed his son. You get salvation. That's the deal.
Well, and also, along with that, the deal is not, it's not a secret. It's not like, you don't know what you're getting when you get into this. You agreed to this. It wasn't that I hid information from you to get you sucked into my business. I just told you what I'm going to pay you, and you said yes. And you hired on and all that kind of thing. Like he's not a good manager with his stuff.
And what God already says, he can do whatever he wants, but as you're like the one side, you're setting it. Yeah, depending on where you're looking at, from what perspective, as the employee who made $1,000 for an hour, and the other guy who made $1,000 in 8 hours, mm-hmm. One may want to come back and think he's going to get treated the same, and he ends up not being treated that way. So would he stay and want to work? I mean, but that's
so for the future. Yeah, I mean, and we can look like a lot into this stuff. You got to remember, the point of the parable is the last shall be first, the first last. Many are called, few are chosen. That's the whole point of the story. That's right. That's the whole point of this parable. So, back of Romans a little bit. So there are, as mind-boggling as it might be, there are folks, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you're one of them, who despise the goodness of God. And when God shows mercy, that's what Paul asks. He says, how do you, you're so hypocritical in your judgment, And you despise, like, the things that you get mad at people for, you do them. And then You're mad at God's goodness when he shows mercy in some people's lives or blesses or takes care or whatever. And I mean, that's probably more of a relevant question, I don't know, in maybe some other countries where people are actually persecuted for their faith. And they look at Americans and they're like, these people have it pretty good, Lord. Why am I getting sort of this treatment? And we try to serve you and we try to do good. And they're not Pharisees. But you see the people just get treated differently. I mean, it depends on cultures. It depends on where you are in the world, all that kinds of things. And so people can look at the way God handles his business and say, why are you unjust in treating this person this way and this person this way? Ultimately, the principle, the point is for religious folks, for Pharisees and that Jesus Christ is dealing, for people who go to church even. I mean, the Lord had the most trouble with church-going people. He didn't have much trouble with people who weren't in church. He had trouble with people who were in church. And they look at God and they question his judgment on things. And why would you allow this happen in my family, but you wouldn't allow it to happen in their family? Why are they blessed and then I'm dealing with all of this trouble in my own life? It's like, hey, this is God's business. This is his business. And he has delegated some parts of life and some parts of the world. I mean, devil's the god of this world, and so to blame God for stuff that happens in this world, you can't. I mean, it's been delegated out. It's the devil has a lot of control in these matters. So, all that said, you got the employer, you got the envy, and the envy comes from the householder, God the Father, being good or better to some people. It seems like he's being better to some people than others. And then this phrase at the end of Matthew chapter 20, not Matthew chapter 20, but verse 16. Look in verse 16, Matthew 20, 16. Here's the point. So the last shall be first, and the first last. That's the point of the whole thing. Many be called, but few chosen. Many be called, but few chosen. So the guys that murmur about the wages, who agreed to the wages, probably aren't the ones going to be hired next time around. If you signed up for this job and you didn't like the pay after you agreed to it, the employer's probably not interested in having you back. And that's what he kind of says to those that are complaining. He says, take your penny and go. You're obviously, you are complaining about my goodness, so I don't really want you working for me anymore. It's kind of the idea. Many are called, few are chosen. So he has all these laborers, and the ones that murmur, the ones that are mad about the goodness of God. You know, it's almost like Remember the parable, I know y'all know it, I mean the parable of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son comes back, and the dad throws a party. He's so happy because his son is alive. He's not dead. And he's so happy that his son is alive. He's so happy that he didn't die out in the world and now nobody can find him. He's so happy that he's back. And the older brother is so mad because he didn't leave. He thought he met all of dad's expectations. He wasn't stupid with his money. And he thought, why is dad not throwing a party for me? Well, son, for all of these years, you've had the blessing of living in my home. You weren't like your brother who is eating out of a pigsty. Yeah, It was his own stupid decisions, but you've been taken care of. You've been loved and you've been provided for all of this, and now I am just happy to see my son again. And the older brother, he can't get it through his mind why dad is so excited to see the younger brother. And it's just beyond him that his dad would be so good to his younger brother because he's not a father. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that relationship, and he doesn't understand the situation, and he really hasn't even thought of it. If the older brother thought of it, he would understand, you know what, I've been provided for, taken care of. I haven't been out in the world like younger brother has, and I haven't experienced all that stuff, bad stuff. I haven't experienced being robbed. I haven't experienced any of those things. And so for all the times that the younger brother who made some foolish decisions was being assaulted and having trouble in the world, older brother's just, he's okay. But he doesn't have that perspective. All he sees is dad is happy because of younger brother coming back. It's like, of course dad's happy, but you don't have that perspective, son, because you're not the father. You don't have that, you're not thinking about it like a dad thinks about it. You're thinking about it like an envious, greedy sinner might think about it. So it's kind of a similar thought process. You're not thinking about, you guys that work, yeah, you did work. You worked a lot. And more work needed to be done. And the market conditions kind of changed. And we need to get this job done. And I need to get this job done today. And y'all aren't getting it done today, so I keep hiring people because it's not getting done. And y'all are looking at me saying that I've been bad when you came to my home and I hired you for the price that we accepted. This idea at verse 16, the last shall be first, the first last. Many be few chosen. Anybody have any idea? I know you don't, but I'm just going to ask it. Any idea where that first shows up in the Bible? Many called, few chosen. Any idea? I didn't have any idea until I looked at it either. So it's in the Old Testament. Before that. It's in that time, a little bit past that time. I'll give it to you. It's in 1 Samuel when David gets picked. And in 1 Samuel 16, he calls, and it says he calls many of his brothers. It's seven of his brothers. And many are called, and they all come or gather around, and they all, Samuel looks at him and he says, man, these guys, this one looks pretty good. He looks like he could be a king. And the Lord says, no, that's not the guy. And he goes through seven of David's brothers. Yeah, and he says, is there anybody else? Because none of these guys are king. And Jesse says, yeah, there's one more. He's tending to the flock. And I mean, we can go get him if you want to, but I highly doubt he's the king. And Samuel says, well, go get him because we're not going to sit down until you bring him in because he may very well be the king. And so, of course, y'all know the story, but there's seven brothers that pass by Samuel, and God rejects every single one of them. And he says, none of these. And then the last one that's chosen in the Bible, it's called that way. He says that he calls him to the house, and then rejects seven of them, and then he finally calls David, and of course David is chosen. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 7, 8, 9. But you have that many called, few chosen. There's out of eight brothers, out of eight siblings there, seven are rejected, one is accepted by God. And he's accepted on the basis of his heart's attitude towards God. All of the physical features, all of the worldly standards would probably say some of the brothers, or all of the brothers, were much more qualified to be a king than David, but turns out they weren't. Do what? David, yeah, David, he's protecting his, and he's learning. He's learning about taking care of a flock of people by taking care of the flock that he's taking care of, the literal sheep. So that's the first time it shows up. Second time, look in Matthew 22. I'll show you this other one. Matthew chapter 22. This is I don't know if we should read it all, but it's a parable of this wedding feast. I'll just tell it to you. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Look in verse 14, in fact. For many are called, but few are chosen. Same principle. Same principle as it was in 1 Samuel, same principle as it was in Matthew 20. Many called, few chosen. So the invitation goes out to the wedding guests in Matthew chapter 22. And most of the wedding guests that are personally invited have reasons why they can't make it. And they all have these excuses. Verse 4, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Oh, that's not good. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. So there was, the invitation goes out. The people are invited. People say, we're not interested. I got my farm to tend to. I got my business to tend to. I got life to tend to. I got adult things that I got to do. And you know, this church thing and this whole wedding thing for your son, it's kind of on the back burner. We're not really interested. And of course, this is a picture of this Jesus Christ. It's God the Father, it's Jesus Christ, it's the invitation, the gospel going out, it's all that kind of thing. And so, anyhow, they're not that interested. They just make light of it. And that's pretty, what a way to say it. I mean, that's what happened, that is today, man. Talk about making light of God, making light of the things of God. Just how... That is the characteristic of today. They made light of it. Of course, the father gets mad and sends an army. Well, he destroys them. All of these parables are good like that. People getting destroyed, crazy stuff. But then he sends out the servants to verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had on a wedding garment. He saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. It's interesting he says friend here, because he said friend in Matthew 20 as well, against the guy that was complaining about how everybody was being treated. And he says, friend, I didn't do you any wrong. I paid you what you wanted. I paid you what you agreed to. Verse 13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here it is, there's a principle. Many are called, few are chosen. Over and over, many called, few chosen. And this is one of those things that is one of the scarier thoughts in the Bible. From a pastor's point of view, one of the scarier things, because as a pastor, you are tasked with overseeing souls of people. And you find out most people aren't really that interested in their soul. They don't even really think they have a soul or are a soul. The reality is that's what you are, as a soul. And so as a pastor, you're overseeing souls. And when you come to verses like this and things like this, it's clear over and over in the Bible that there are more people who think they're good with God than actually are good with God. There are more people who really believe that when they die, they'll be okay than are actually okay. And trying to navigate all of that because, you know, for a while, everyone you meet is a Christian, seems like. And then for sure, everyone that dies is saved. For sure. For sure. I mean, it's even if there's no testimony, nothing, there's no, it's just what we think he prayed at the end there. I mean, literally, I guess it's because it's such a horrible thought to think of someone not being saved. But you ought to think about that before they're on their deathbed. You ought to think about that before you get to this point in life where you're just going to convince yourself, well, they're just in a better place. It's clear in the Bible over and over, that there are more people who believe. And I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about in here. I'm talking about in church. I'm talking about in independent Baptist church. I'm talking about all that stuff. More people who believe they're good with God who are actually good with God. And one of my fears is because people don't read their Bibles, not just read their Bibles, because they don't obey God, they don't have a clue whether they're good with God or not. And it's just we just remove that part of our understanding of God so far away, and we just pretend that we're good with God because of our association with whatever the religion of our choice. I mean, literally, if you just changed a few words, in. In what our profession is, or what people's profession of faith is, it can match a Roman Catholic, it could match a Muslim, it could. All you got to say is, you know, I believe the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm a part of that, so that's good. Or someone says, I believe the King James Bible, and that's good. People say that stuff. And it has literally no meaning at all. And this is the scary thing. Over and over, he says stuff like this. He says, many be called, few chosen. There's a clear discrepancy between the people that think they're good with God and the people that actually are good with God. What does he say? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way. Narrow. I mean, it's not everybody that ends up in a grave is saved. What happens is most people that end up in a grave aren't saved, but we convince ourselves that they were in some way. We just want to deny the reality of it. So he says, here's another time. Look in 1 Corinthians 1:26. I say all that because it's a scary thought to think about. And how do you convince people who think they're good with God that they're not good with God? How do you explain? How do you show them from the Bible that they're not interested in? Right? You do. The strain is, I can't even get you to think about the alternative. I can't even get you to think that maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you're the one not right with God. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it's you. And it, because it's always them, it's always about them. It's always out there. It's they do this. They're sinners. But I'm trying to get individuals. Paul says it this way. He says, examine your own selves. Examine yourself. It's examining everyone else, but it's examine you. Many are called, few are chosen. Here's a great description of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren. There it is, many called. See your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen. There's the chosen. Called, many are called, few are chosen. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, for this purpose, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You remember what the laborers said in Matthew 20? They said, we have endured the heat of the day. We are more valuable to your operation than these other people. And Paul says it's a perfect interpretation to this. He says, you are not more valuable to my operation. You think you're more valuable to my operation. But you're not more valuable to my operation. In fact, the ones that are more valuable to my operation are the ones who are weak and beggarly, and they are looking for the goodness of God because they need help. Not the ones who have it all together and think they're owed more. The ones who are more valuable are the ones who highlight the good characteristics of God. The ones that show God as a good, generous, benevolent God. Those are the ones that are valuable to God's kingdom. Not the ones who show God that he's fair and he's just and he pays out what he says. No, the ones who rely on the grace of God and the mercy of God, those are the ones that are valuable. Because those are the ones that highlight all of the good aspects. That's what the Lord said in Matthew 20. He said, I can do with what I will with my own, all that kind of stuff. But he said, is your eye evil because I'm good? Are you mad at me because I was good to certain people and you didn't like that? These are the people in my kingdom that highlighted my goodness. That they highlighted my characteristics of goodness and generosity. Those are the people that are valuable. So he says, and Paul says it in Corinthians here. God hasn't chosen the wise things and the knowledgeable and the elite and all that kind of stuff. No, he chooses the beggarly things because those are the ones that highlight his goodness. The point is that no flesh should glory in his sight. Well, wait a minute. We worked all day in the heat. Congratulations, you did. And you agreed to your pay. Pharisee, you agreed to your pay. It goes back to how many times did Jesus Christ say that in Matthew to those in the Sermon on the Mount? He said over and over, he says, look, they have their reward. These folks who are looking for rewards from men, they're looking for praise of men, they're looking for accolades of men, and then they want God to bless their lives. No. You got what you were looking for when men decided to put your name on a plaque or something. You got what you were looking for. You weren't looking for anything from me. You were looking for something from men and you got it. Now you want something from me? Well, you should have been looking for something from me. That's what, I mean, Matthew 5, 6, 7, he says, they have their reward, verily they have their reward, verily they have their reward, verily they have their reward, but your reward is in heaven. But your reward is with Jesus Christ. If you trust Jesus Christ. So that's the theme all through the Bible, and even at the end. Even come Lord Jesus, his reward is with him. That's the end of the Bible. So anyhow, all that stuff said, the point of the parable, many called, few chosen, the last first, the first last, and there is a murmuring about the goodness of God, and that is the thing that disqualifies some of the laborers. You complained about what it is you're getting, and the irony in the whole thing is everyone got exactly what they bargained for. The earlier ones that were hired, they agreed for a penny, they got it. You know what the later ones were looking for? They were just looking for a generous boss who would pay them some amount so they could feed their families. They hadn't been hired all day, and they needed to be hired. And by this point in the day, it's really late, and it's going to be tough to find anybody. I mean, if you pay by the hour at this point, I mean, is it even worth it to go to work for a couple bucks or whatever? So they're just looking for someone who is going to be generous to them, hire them out for a decent amount, something worth their time, something that they can feed their families with, and that's what they find. They found a generous householder who hired him out for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was, and he paid him a good wage for doing it. And they were able to go home, feed their families, and they were okay with that because they were just looking for someone generous. The other ones were looking for someone fair, and they got exactly what they were looking for. He's fair. God is so interesting, and I know we're way over time here, but I haven't preached in a while, but he's a mirror. Just says, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. What does he say? Judge not, be not judged, all that kind of stuff. But with what measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you. It's just like whatever you're looking for, you got it. Don't complain about it. And if you complain about it, it's because you're the wicked one, not God. He's just reflecting to you exactly what you are. Kind of interesting. That's another study, but that's kind of an interesting thing. All right, Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. Thank you for each soul that's here, and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.